Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Last week, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis told Floridians to ignore FDA and CDC guidelines, which are urging everyone over the age of 6 months to get the new COVID-19 vaccine.
We will not allow the dystopian visions of paranoid hypochondriacs control our health policies, let alone our state.
Well, then DeSantis's Surgeon General, Joseph Lapido, took the mic, adding two false claims. One, he said there's no evidence that the COVID vaccines work, and then this falsehood.
mRNA COVID-19 products actually increase your chances of contracting COVID-19.
That is not true. Now, we know COVID-19 vaccines have been politicized. It's tempting to take a ho-hum attitude, but words like that can kill. 200,000 Americans died of COVID after the vaccines were widely available, rejecting them because of fake claims. And the redder the state, the more deaths. Researchers call it red COVID. Dr. Peter Hotez, the respected researcher, physician, nominee for a Nobel for his co-development of a low-cost, patent-free COVID vaccine for developing countries, has long been a target of anti-vaccine movements. But in his new chilling book, he makes the case that the anti-vaccine movement is now entwined with the far right in ways that reflect authoritarian trends from Stalin to today's Hungary. His book is a clarion call to his profession to wake up. Dr. Hotez, Peter, welcome back.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Robin.
Now, we knew you'd been attacked by the right. I didn't know how much these were death threats and how frightening that was. We read that in a book. And we knew you'd write about how politicians, Fox News hosts, podcasters were fueling the anti-vaccine movement, which has been around for decades. But we didn't know. As you say, this isn't the beginning of the end, but the end of the beginning. Of what?
Well, the major message is this is not some theoretical discussion. The way it's often pitched is yet another aspect of culture wars between the left and the right. This is a dangerous and now deadly movement. Anti-vaccine disinformation, which I sometimes call anti-science aggression, is killing Americans in unprecedented numbers. My estimate says that roughly 200,000 Americans needlessly perished because they refused the COVID vaccine during our Delta and BA1 Omicron waves. And they were victims. They were victims of what we too often call misinformation or infodemic. And I make the point it's none of those things, because that implies it's just some random junk on the internet. In fact, this disinformation was organized, it was well financed, it was politically charged and motivated, and it was predatory. It targeted these individuals who tragically lost their lives by believing it. And it's a hard thing to talk about, but I went into becoming a vaccine scientist because I thought it was the high expression of science for humanitarian purposes. And our two COVID vaccine technologies have reached 100 million people in low and middle income countries in India and Indonesia. But now it's turned on its head. And now I feel that making vaccines is now one piece of what I do. But now it's necessary to combat the anti-vaccine activism, anti-science aggression, because that too is killing people.
And it's not just that the anti-COVID-19 campaign is killing people. You believe that this is the beginning of using this infrastructure that you've laid out has been built, and we'll get some examples of why you think that in a minute. This is about going after other science.
That's right. It's expanding in two ways. One, it's globalizing. So now you're seeing this up in Canada with the Freedom Convoy movement egged on by the same perpetrators who did this in the United States. It's in Central Europe, in Germany and Austria. Now it's contaminating low and middle income countries. And I've been meeting with the World Health Organization about that. And so it's going to affect the whole vaccine ecosystem, including childhood immunizations. And it's not only targeting the science, but it's targeting the scientists. And you're seeing that scientists, myself and some of my colleagues, are being portrayed as public enemies or enemies of the state. And it takes us to a very dark place in the history of American political life.
You know, you have the death threats that come in the emails and the mail, but you have somebody like Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene or Tucker Carlson arbitrarily calling you out, you know, at different times and vilifying you, except that it's not arbitrary. We learned through your book how much Russia was, in fact, sowing some of this discord. And there's suddenly Tucker Carlson going off to support the autocratic Hungary. So there's this web. I'm sure you've had people say to you, oh, come on, Peter. You know, this sounds too conspiratorial.
Well, if you try to say it in one breathless sentence.
Like I just did.
Well, even to me, you know, you have to kind of build the story and look at how the anti-vaccine movement shifted over the years. It began with false assertions that vaccines cause autism. That brought us a couple of decades ago. And that's how I got involved, because I have four adult kids, including Rachel, who has autism and intellectual disabilities. And wrote a book, previous book, called Vaccines Did Not Cause Rachel's Autism, to debunk the disinformation and explain the evidence showing there's no link. And did whole exome genomic sequencing on Rachel and my wife and I to find Rachel's autism gene. And
hold on. Well, let me underscore that. You and your wife had medical experts find the gene that backed up the thinking about where autism starts. Tell us how autism starts.
Autism begins in early fetal brain development through the action of one or more autism genes. About 100 of them have been sequenced, and Baylor Genetics found Rachel's autism gene. And autism is a sequence of events that begins in early neurological development, well before kids ever see a vaccine. And I think that's important that parents have that alternative narrative. Now, when I did that, I was heavily attacked by anti-vaccine activists. Even Robert F. Kennedy Jr. publicly labeled me the OG villain, and I'm so old and square, I had to look up what that meant, the original gangster villain. But by doing that, it gave me a front row seat to an anti-vaccine industry and movement, and I watched it morph and change over the last decade from phony baloney about autism and phony autism cures and anti-vaccine books on Amazon to becoming a political enterprise under this banner of health freedom, medical freedom. And it really accelerated in Texas. You started to see funds from the Republican Tea Party, from the PACs, go to anti-vaccine groups. And you started to see a rise in parents not vaccinating their kids. And that's what's come off the rails now with COVID-19. Because that politically charged enterprise coming out of, as you point out, members of the House Freedom Caucus, some U.S. senators, and then at the nighttime Fox News anchors during that Delta wave amplified anti-vaccine messages almost every night, which was watched by 3 million Americans. And so those who went down that rabbit hole became victims of this very predatory aggression and paid for it with their lives.
Were they also murdered, you know, by people who used those words that they listened to?
I'm not an attorney. I don't know about legal definitions, but I will say this. You see it, you know, where I work in Texas, you go into the more conservative rural areas of Texas, almost everyone you talk to, it seems, has lost a loved one to COVID because they refused to take a vaccine, and your heart breaks.
You know, someone might say, you know, well, why would somebody do this? Why would somebody, you know, lead people down this path? You make the case that that's how autocracies work. You go back to Stalin, who, you know, went after the scientists. I urge people to read this, but with all the charts and graphs and facts, it seems as if you are also writing it for your own profession. Because as you say on a podcast that you are on, I call this anti-science aggression. It's tough for someone like me to talk about it. Our training, as scientists says, we're supposed to put our heads down and focus on the science. But there's nobody speaking out.
That's exactly right. You know, as I like to say, I didn't know how to talk about it other than to talk about it. So I talked about it or I wrote about it. And it takes you, as I say, to a dark place in American political life. And I had to consult people like Ruth Benguet, the historian and political scientist, or read the writings of Hannah Arendt to understand, is there precedent for this? And it is. In Stalinist Russia, they targeted science and scientists. And I wanted to write this book because we were still calling it misinformation. It was overly intellectualized, and no one would actually say what was actually happening. And part of it is because I think there's this, you know, commitment to political neutrality. We're not supposed to talk about Republicans and Democrats and liberals or conservatives. We're supposed to, you know, be apart from that. And I get that. But what do you do when the data so clearly points out that this is a political movement? And I said, if I'm really committed to being a humanitarian who does science, then this is part of the deal. Not that I care about people's extremist views. That's your right as an American. But somehow to figure out a way to uncouple this from the anti-science, because this one's killing too many Americans. And it's a tough needle to thread. And you don't always get the backings of the scientific institutions. And that gets tough as well. So it's not only the words of the enemies, it's sometimes it's the silence of the friends as well.
Well, one of your suggestions, and you make many in the book, because I love the quote from Teddy Roosevelt, if you're just talking about it, then you're whining. But you have some suggestions. One of them is creating for science what the Southern Poverty Law Center has created for anti-racism, a research and information center to help ferret out falsehoods. Vaccine researcher and physician Dr. Peter Hotez, his new book, The Deadly Rise of Anti-Science, releases today. Dr. Hotez, I know this is going to be more targeting for you, but thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity, Robin.